OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
After the leaked Supreme Court draft opinion, a debate over abortion rights is once again front and center, including on Capitol Hill. And Congress is facing pressure to act.
Congress's power is that it could just write a law. The hitch there is the scope of Congress's powers. And the question is, would there be a court challenge saying that Congress did not have the right to write these laws?
Plus, how Ukraine's president says global businesses can help his country. And from resignation to regret, why some people aren't happy with their new jobs. It's Tuesday, May 3rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Demonstrators on both sides of the issue gathered on the steps of the Supreme Court today, reacting to the leaked draft opinion indicating that the court may be preparing to overturn Roe v. Wade, the 1973 precedent that established the constitutional right to an abortion. The Supreme Court has confirmed the authenticity of the draft, written by Justice Samuel Alito. In a statement, Chief Justice John Roberts called the leak, which was published by Politico late last night, a singular and egregious breach. He said it was not necessarily the court's final resolution in the case. Justice Roberts says he's directed the court martial to investigate the source. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and other lawmakers are echoing that call.
This lawless action should be investigated and punished to the fullest extent possible.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called it a dark and disturbing day for America.
Republicans are spending all their focus on the leak because they don't want to talk about Roe v. Wade, where they know they're on the wrong side of history and on the wrong side of American people.
We'll have more on what next steps Congress could take later in the show. Corporate America has also started responding to the draft opinion. Amazon has told employees it will reimburse up to $4,000 annually in travel expenses for non-life-threatening medical treatments like abortions that employees can't otherwise access within 100 miles of their homes. The company sent an email to employees about the reimbursements, which was reported earlier by Reuters. Several other companies, including Yelp, Apple, and Citigroup, already offer financial assistance to employees seeking out-of-state reproductive health care. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said global companies have a critical role to play in helping isolate Russia and helping Ukraine restore its economy. During an interview at the Wall Street Journal's CEO Council Summit in London, Zelensky said that Russia had to be completely isolated economically to allow Ukraine to fight and defend its rights. The Ukrainian president pledged attractive conditions like lower taxes for these companies to invest in his country after the war ends, and appeared confident that Ukraine had already stopped Russia's advance and would liberate its territory. Voters in Ohio and Indiana are casting their ballots in the first primaries of a series taking place across the country this month. The Ohio primary is being viewed as a bellwether on former President Trump's sway over Republican voters. He's backed venture capitalist J.D. Vance, who is vying for retiring Senator Rob Portman's seat. That race could help decide who holds control of the Senate next year. The Labor Department says job openings and the number of times workers quit reached the highest levels on record in March, as a shortage of available workers continued to pressure the U.S. labor market. Employers posted 11.5 million open positions that month, up from 11.3 million in February, while 4.5 million people quit their jobs. The gap between the number of job openings and people unemployed but looking for work has persisted since last spring. And stock indexes wobbled today, ultimately ending the day higher as investors anticipate the Federal Reserve's next moves. The central bank is expected to raise interest rates at the end of its two-day policy meeting tomorrow. Coming up, lawmakers are facing pressure to codify abortion rights. What powers and limitations Congress has after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
The leaked Supreme Court draft opinion on Roe v. Wade has created a whirlwind in Washington today and is renewing calls for Congress to act. In a statement, President Biden said if the decision is overturned, it would fall on elected leaders to codify it on the federal level. But similar efforts, even one earlier this year, have failed to get enough votes. So what can supporters of abortion rights in Congress do if the court decides to overturn the landmark decision? Joining me now from Capitol Hill with more on this is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Hi, Siobhan. Thanks for being here.
Hi, good to be with you.
So, Siobhan, what power does Congress have to make federal law ensuring abortion rights across all 50 states? What tools are at lawmakers' disposal?
The tools that are at lawmakers' disposal are the power to write legislation. Congress has the power to write laws. And it could also argue that it's got kind of a foundational basis in enforcing, for example, the 14th Amendment, which implicit in that is a privacy right that extends to your right to decide to terminate or continue a pregnancy, that that's a private decision. And Congress could say that it's merely acting to enforce the 14th Amendment by devising a new law. Congress's power is that it could just write a law. The hitch there is the scope of Congress's powers. And the question is, would there be a court challenge saying that Congress did not have the right to write these laws? And we've seen that play before. Remember when the Affordable Care Act went before the Supreme Court and there were questions about whether the Supreme Court was going to uphold that seminal healthcare law? We could be back in that same brew all over again.
So President Biden is calling for Democrats to step up. What is standing in the way for them right now to passing a federal law codifying abortion rights?
A couple of things are standing in the way, the most prominent of which is the Senate, where a supermajority of 60 out of 100 votes are needed to pass most legislation. The Democrats hold only 50 seats compared with 50 seats for the Republicans. Not all of their members are unified around support for abortion legislation. And so Democrats are falling short and literally having the numbers needed to enact a law.
And Democrats also tried to get legislation through Congress back in February, and it was blocked in the Senate. Is there a sense that renewing this effort would have a different result this time around?
There's no sense that renewing the effort would have a different result this time around, which has created an opening for Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who have devised legislation that would also codify the right to an abortion, but it's different and narrower from what the Senate Democrats had backed with the Women's Health Protection Act that, as you mentioned, failed back in February.
And what is the likelihood that any Republicans would join Democrats in voting in favor of a federal abortion rights law?
It depends on the way the law is written. If the law is written the way the Women's Health Protection Act was, it's nearly impossible to see Republican support. There is this open question about whether the Susan Collinses or Lisa Murkowskis of the world would be willing to get on board to support narrower legislation. But even there, you run into the problem of the 60 vote threshold. And in kind of another obstacle for Democrats, you had a spokesperson for Susan Collins today saying that her position on the filibuster was unchanged, as in she is not about to get rid of the filibuster in the name of abortion rights.
Siobhan, what other changes, if any, can Congress make to the Supreme Court?
Some other things that are front and center now are imposing term limits for Supreme Court justices, or what's known as packing the courts, where the Democrats would essentially try to add seats to dilute the power of the current 6-3 conservative majority. Those notions had really been on the back burner for a long time, but I talked to Senator Dick Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, today, and he said all of those conversations absolutely really become front and center again.
Siobhan, how is all of this likely to factor into the midterm elections?
Democrats think it will factor into the midterm elections by energizing their base. I talked to Jessica Taylor, who covers Senate races for the Cook Political Report. She said it was too soon to tell, that there wasn't a lot of polling in, and that while the elimination of Roe versus Wade could energize Democrats, it could also energize Republicans, and that it really might matter on an individual state-by-state race. I had some interesting conversations with other people earlier, though, about how one of the places that this could come into play most dramatically would be in the Pennsylvania race for a Senate seat, where you have two Republicans who might have trouble pivoting from a primary win, where they need to turn out Republican voters to prevail, and then going to a general election where anything they had said in favor of the Supreme Court decision could come back to bite them as they tried to appeal to a wider base. Also, another place to watch for the effect would be in the Missouri Senate race, where someone like Eric Greitens could wrap himself in the Supreme Court decision, but then end up having problems winning the general election. And this is something that we have seen before, when Republican named Todd Akin became the Senate nominee and then ended up losing to Claire McCaskill over some comments he had made about abortion and also something he called quote unquote legitimate rape.
That's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Always good to be with you.
And finally, as we talked about earlier in the show, millions of people have quit their jobs and jumped to new positions in what many are calling the Great Resignation. Workers have been lured by the prospect of higher salaries, more flexibility, and other perks. But our workplace reporter, Catherine Dill, says some job switchers are now having second thoughts.
You know, it depends on why they left their role. So, for example, the man I spoke with who had been happy in his job but felt like, you know, everybody else is getting a big new job, I should be too, landed a new job, expanded responsibilities, more resources, more pay pretty quickly. But he said starting that new job, which also was fine and where he wasn't unhappy, made it that much clearer to him what he had really loved about his previous job. He had loved being on a smaller staff and having really visible impact. You know, he loved working directly on day-to-day projects in addition to being part of the big picture. So that can happen. You know, you can leave your job that you're not unhappy with and discover what you really liked about it by going somewhere else. But also, I spoke with workers who said that, you know, after what they've been through in the last 2 years, they were unwilling to settle for an unprofessional environment or a job that turned out not to be the way it was described. They knew that they could find the job that was right for them. It was out there. And the market is such right now that they could move around until they found it.
You can listen to more about this trend and learn how one worker cycled through several jobs after jumping ship on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.